This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. In a few minutes, we'll be talking about how the outbreak of COVID-19 and the rise of the case count in San Antonio has got the Metropolitan Health District working around the clock to show the spread while also testing people who need to get those tests. We're going to talk about what the criteria is and how you can get the test and what that looks like. Also, a little bit later on, we will be talking about how guns are an issue. Gun shops are an issue, and we can talk about that right now. Gun stores have been deemed to be essential in Texas, but around other parts of the country, not so much. We're now joined by Hannah Shearer, litigation director for the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence. And Hannah Shearer, tell me about the situation with gun stores in Texas and around the country when it comes to the coronavirus and what's an essential business.
Sure. I think right now states are grappling with a terrible problem that's affecting all businesses and requiring sacrifice from many different types of retail businesses and from consumers. At this point, Texas, in keeping gun stores open, is pretty consistent with the rest of the country. Most states and localities are doing the same, particularly after the federal government, the Department of Homeland Security, classified gun stores as essential businesses. So that's the trend, but there are a few areas that have determined that the public health interests are going to be better served by temporarily closing these businesses, which could pose a risk for virus transmission, especially because gun purchases at licensed dealers have to happen face-to-face. So I think there's a lot of competing concerns here. And it's a difficult issue to work through, just as with the many other businesses that are being affected by the COVID crisis.
So, Hannah, help me understand the argument that gun stores should not be considered essential.
I think the argument is coming more from the public health perspective of reducing virus transmission. It's a blanket policy that some states are applying to all businesses, saying that they need to be closed or their hours severely curtailed because this is a virus that we know spreads from face-to-face contact and from surfaces. And so retail stores where there's money exchanged for a product poses a risk of virus transmission. And then what states have been doing is exempting some narrow classes of business from the overall closures. And those include things like pharmacies, hospitals, of course, grocery stores for people to buy food. So it's far from clear, I think, that gun stores should be considered as essential, as pharmacies and other businesses. But of course, there may be, and I think there are other considerations in play from a law enforcement perspective. Licensed gun dealers are the only ones who can run background checks on gun purchasers. So I actually think that some jurisdictions may be determining that gun stores are essential because they want to keep the background check system running, and they want to also aid federal law enforcement in performing gun traces on crime guns. So that might be weighing in favor of keeping stores open. On the other hand, you have the grave public health risk. That may be what's leading at least a few states before the federal classification to try and close stores along with almost every other business.
The number to call in is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. We're talking about how gun stores have been declared, designated essential in Texas and also in other parts of the country during the great shutdown. Dan Levin joins us now. He's a reporter for the New York Times, and you've covered this debate. And a lot of people feel, of course, people feel very strongly about their guns and being able to buy them and the Second Amendment, Dan. So what have you observed?
First off, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I mean, I think, look, there's a big question around so much in terms of what's essential. And in the last, say, month, you know, as states and jurisdictions were moving toward shutdowns, obviously, guns was a big question. And so you're seeing across the country, states making those kind of decisions, you know, whether it's Ohio, Illinois, Michigan, you know, places where you know, gun stores have been deemed essential, and then places like New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts, where, you know, the governors decided that they weren't. But then again, you're seeing debates like in California, where initially the sheriff of Los Angeles County had ordered his deputies to ensure that gun stores remained closed because they were not explicitly mentioned within the essential businesses. He ended up reversing his decision after the county's lawyers said that they could. But I think, yeah, it's really a debate. When you have the Second Amendment involved, you know, I think one could argue that there's certainly more legal precedent than, say, allowing, you know, liquor stores to remain open or, you know, marijuana dispensaries.
So you bring up liquor stores, and that's something that a lot of people have argued. You hear, well, you're going to let liquor stores stay open, but you're going to shut down gun stores. But we have seen in some places where they've tried to close liquor stores that there has been almost like a panic of people going to go buy their booze. You know, people people like their booze. They like to buy the and we had a great not such a great experiment in the United States where we tried to keep people from doing that, and we saw how society fell apart over that. So as we do these shutdowns of deciding what's essential, what's not essential, it's certainly not always easy. You have to also kind of look at what the consequences of that call would bring about. So Hannah Shearer with the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence, you have to think about, well, if we declare gun stores non-essential and they shut them all down, are there consequences that we undesirable, unforeseen consequences that we have to try to figure out?
I think that's exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up, because there are consequences to closing gun stores, and I think that means there's risk on either side. As I mentioned, closing gun stores means that licensed dealers aren't running background checks, and that might divert gun buyers to the black market, to private sales, and even enable people who are prohibited from possessing firearms to be able to more freely access them as private sales ramp up. I also think one risk I didn't mention yet is that closed gun stores might be a target for break-ins and thefts. Thefts from gun stores have been on the rise even well before the coronavirus outbreak. And so I think closing a store, a jurisdiction is going to need to work with law enforcement to make sure this isn't just an attractive target of a bunch of guns sitting in a closed store. And finally, I mentioned that federal law enforcement is going to be inhibited from tracing guns used in crimes because they rely on records that are kept at licensed gun dealers. So really, there are risks on both sides. And I don't know that I think some of the states and cities who are leaving gun stores open may be acting out of those law enforcement concerns. Rather than anything about any concerns about the Second Amendment.
All right, we're taking a break. Our phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. Call in 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm just calling for the opinion of whether or not I believe ammunition and guns are an essential business. No, I do not believe they're an essential business.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. That's from our voicemail line. We're talking about gun stores. They have been designated as essential. This was an order that came down from Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, as in the state of Texas, we're having sort of a patchwork of different counties, different cities making different decisions about whether they should be or not during the great shutdown because of COVID-19. This is also a situation that is happening across the nation. Some states have called gun stores non-essential, and they are closed. Other states, like Texas, say, no, you got to have them. So it opens up this question of, like, how were these decisions made? Are we following science, social science? Are we following politics? Is this just because the NRA and people who are Second Amendment supporters, they have a lot of political pull? And then what does that mean in trying to flatten the curve and slow the spread of COVID-19? And so we'd like to hear what you think. And give us a call. The number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. And Hannah Shearer, the litigation director for the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence, they have put out some points saying that because we have this panic buying of guns, that this does also put the public in jeopardy. Can you expand on that?
Yes. So especially at a time when people may be making decisions based out of fear, there may be more first-time gun buyers. Some people believe that many of those who are contributing to the surge of gun sales are first-time buyers. This poses serious risks. And remember, this is a time when people are changing their daily routines. They're sheltering at home, often in confined spaces with other family members. And so we're very, very concerned that the shelter in place and social distancing policies might lead to increases in suicide attempts and people dying by suicide, and also fuel an increase in domestic violence. And when a gun enters either one of those situations, it becomes far more lethal. And so a gun that an inexperienced person buys for self-defense is more likely to be used tragically in a suicide or in an act of domestic violence rather than successfully in self-defense. And so that's something that we urge people to keep in mind, and hopefully decisions about gun purchasing and the gun store issue in general are being informed by public health considerations like this.
We go to the phone lines, 833-877-8255 with Dana. And Dana, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call. And I'm so excited about my place in line because I was going to expand on specifically what you just mentioned, that kids are home full time. We've seen a spike in domestic violence here in Bexar County especially. And we know that suicide rates were increasing even before the pandemic. I volunteer with a gun safety communication program called Be Smart for Kids, and we recently partnered with Bexar County, Judge Wolf, Sheriff Salazar, and the University Health System to provide free gun locks to Bexar County residents via gunsafetyforbexar.com, the number 4 Bexar, and we tweeted it at you. But my question is, do you think there's any bandwidth right now for the government to promote similar education campaigns, and for Governor Abbott specifically to expand the way the $1 million gun lock purchase he made last year to distribute those gun locks in a better manner right now under this pandemic? And thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Dana. Let me go back to Hannah Shearer. You're with the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence. I don't know if you could really drill down that deep with what's happening in Texas on that.
Yes, just to bring in the national perspective, and thank you so much to the caller for your work. It is going to be very critical to educate people, and particularly first-time buyers, about safe storage and the risks around children, which are incredibly serious. A common misconception, even among people who already own guns, is that their kids don't know where they're keeping the gun. And studies have shown that, in fact, kids do know where their parents' hidden gun is. They're curious and they're able to figure things like that out. And so there's going to be lots of tragedies if our state and federal government don't ramp up education around safe storage of firearms for all the people who may be owning one for the first time at a really gotten it like this.
Dan Levin at the New York Times, you've been covering this issue. This does seem to be kind of a moment for the NRA. They're able to portray themselves as under siege and that talk about that states are trying to take away your guns. This is an assault on the Second Amendment. Is that really an argument that holds up outside of the rhetoric?
I mean, in terms of my reporting, you know, I spoke with some lobbying groups. I think maybe a more cogent issue at sort of with what's happening right now, is, you know, going back to a lot of these buyers are first-time buyers. And in my reporting, you know, I was speaking with some gun stores who are not only selling guns, but also are shooting ranges. And what they were saying was that they're actually having to offer more classes because so many of these new buyers are obviously new gun owners and needed more training around safety. So what they were advocating was that this is actually a public health benefit in that, you know, they're able to provide these customers with training that they need at this time. And I think, look, when it comes to lobbying, there's certainly a concerted lobbying effort toward every level of government to kind of expand the opportunities and abilities for people to buy guns right now. You know, one of the things that the lobbying groups have been saying is that it's not just your average end user, your average, you know, resident of these states who needs access to these guns, but also law enforcement as well as for their training. So, you know, it's in some ways it's a complicated issue. And I think it really strikes at, you know, one of the core questions that states are dealing with right now around what is essential.
Hannah Scherer of gun rights supporters points to the Second Amendment and say they have a constitutional protection. What is your opinion about that that amendment saying that they have a right to own a gun even during this pandemic? I mean, it's not about owning a gun. If you have a gun, you can own a gun. The issue is really is hitting pause on being able to buy one during the spread of the coronavirus, right?
Yes, but I think what those gun rights supporters are missing is that there's lots of constitutional rights that are burdened by this crisis. It's requiring sacrifice from many people, sacrificing many types of constitutional rights, ability to have First Amendment protected gatherings, go to church, even ability to do things like go get a marriage license. There's a constitutional right to travel, which is being restricted all over the country. And so I think that the precedent is clear that in an emergency situation where there's a threat to human life, constitutional rights aren't unlimited, and our government can consider the public health effects of letting everybody line up at the gun store in dense groups. So really, how I interpret that argument is that they're asking the Second Amendment to be given special consideration over all those other types of constitutional rights. And I don't think our Constitution compels that outcome.
And but people are, they feel like they need to have guns, Dan Levine. They want to protect their hoard of toilet paper, so they got to go out and get guns.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily simplify it like that. I mean, you certainly see, you know, at times of kind of fear and uncertainty rises in certain sales of certain products, right? So that could be guns, it could be chickens. You know, every presidential election year, you actually see an increase in chickens, live chickens sold. So, you know, I mean, yes, obviously there's a fear factor, you know, and people are afraid about kind of what's going to happen in society. But, you know, I think it's, you know, certainly more than that. And it's a real question, I think, that officials at the state level have to wrestle with or have had to wrestle with, because in some cases when governors did exclude gun sellers from the essential business lists, there were immediate lawsuits filed against them that have, you know, compelled some to change their policies.
Well, people are always going to file lawsuits, particularly when you're shutting down businesses, whether they be gun stores or liquor stores or whatever stores you have. So, Hannah Scherer, knowing that we're seeing a 40% increase in the sale of guns right now and the demand for this, what does that tell you about where are we with talking about gun safety, preventing gun violence in America?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I think in a lot of ways, the huge spike in gun sales shows that Second Amendment rights are safe, even if there is a temporary closure of gun stores in some locations. In some locations, in some states, overall, the trend has been that gun ownership is way up based on the fears that we've been talking about. And so I think that we have to accept the reality that there are first-time buyers who may not be trained in firearm safety, and they're introducing a lot of serious risks into the home at a time that's really dangerous to public health for a variety of reasons. And I think that gun safety advocates have to seize this moment to continue educating on the risk of gun suicide and unsafe storage of guns in the home, and also try to narrative of fear to remind people that you don't need a gun, you don't need to out and buy guns out of fear. You should be making decisions based on public health evidence and listening to experts on this issue. I think people would be a lot safer if they didn't make decisions based out of feeling very fearful and powerless.
And Dan Levin at the New York Times, in your reporting, have you seen any events that actually showed that getting that gun right now is has worked for people, has been essential for families or in individuals?
I mean, not that I have seen. Certainly, look, there was a huge rush on guns a few weeks ago as things were shutting down. I think it was really kind of out of a sense of, you know, fear and wanting to ensure that people had, you know, the protection they need if that's what they felt was necessary. You know, look, there's less public gatherings. You're seeing crime in a lot of places pretty much down because of shelter in place orders. You know, it's really a question of kind of what we'll see when this ends. But I do think, you know, you're seeing a rise in domestic violence cases. And obviously, when there's a gun in the home, that can make those situations certainly more dangerous.
And Hannah Scherer, we went over a quick point during the last segment. I want to get back to it very quickly. You mentioned how when gun shops are closed down, it's difficult for law enforcement or impossible for law enforcement to run checks on a gun ownership, to trace a gun. And that's because of laws that we have in place that prevent the feds from having a database about gun ownership. And so this seems like we're exposing a weakness in the system that probably should be rectified.
That's right. Currently, the federal ATF relies on retail sales records that are kept physically by gun dealers and how they trace guns recovered at crime scenes. And it's a really antiquated system. I think right now people are focused on other things and not on fixing that problem, but it's going to get exposed if gun stores are closed and ATF needs records from those stores in tracing a crime gun.
All right. Hannah Scherer is the litigation director for the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence. Dan Levin is a reporter for the New York Times. When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking to Don Emmerich, the director of San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, to talk about the latest developments with containing COVID-19 and flattening the curve. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.